Hey everybody, hope you're all doing well. Thank you ever so much for joining us for what will be the inaugural episode of Dice Thrower. My name is Will, and I am super excited today to be able to welcome the almighty beard of Tabletop Tactics as Dice Thrower's first ever guest. Welcome, beard.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Yep, going pretty good, all things considered. How are you doing?
You've considered all things.
Yeah, yeah, it's been an exhaustive consideration.
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm very excited to be here and yeah, doing the chats.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you ever so much for coming on. Probably a couple of little bits of housekeeping to get out of the way, which is that it probably bears mentioning that this isn't the first time we've ever spoken, just in case it sounds particularly chummy. and also that I will henceforth refer to you by your given name, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
As much as I'm sure the hordes of fans listening would love me to use beard throughout for the fan service, but I think we'll go with Joe.
That's very kind. Use my true born name.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty. Cool. Well, I think you know, given the market segments that I'm going to aim this at, people will probably know what you do. But for anybody who doesn't, would you like to give a little kind of overview of, you know, your kind of role in the world of tabletop?
Tabletop Tactics?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I I have been making video content for the channel since 2015 or 2016, I think. It's been some time, but have done it full time since October of 2020, everyone's favorite year. What a ride. Basically I as a job make and record like battle reports covering Warhammer 40,000. We do battle reports, we do like hobby based stuff, like a video podcast kind of segments, if you will. We talk about the tactics and we talk about the gaming aspect and kind of like, well, we're moving more into competitive stuff as well. But yeah, we make lots of great 40K content. And we enjoy doing that very much. And it's good fun.
Nice one. I think that's a pretty fair and accurate description. And probably also bears mentioning as well, but probably one of the biggest channels doing it as well, I'd say.
We are one of the biggest. There's plenty of really great channels out there. There's certainly some that are bigger than us. I guess in the UK, we're probably, in terms of like subscribers, I suppose we're one of the bigger ones. But we put a lot of effort into trying to make like the best quality stuff, best quality content. So we put a lot of effort into our production and editing, and we make sure that the miniatures that we have on the channel are of a tip-top standard. You know what I mean? So it's like a feast for the eyes and the ears and, dare I say it, the soul.
Mm. You dare. I mean, that's eyes and ears. It's about what you can cover through YouTube.
Pretty much. It's difficult to get any further than that. We have technical limitations.
that's the end of my, sycophantic questioning. And now, you know, as is the... kind of my hope and dream for the podcast, we're going to delve into a little bit more about the Joe.
Oh yeah,
the Joe behind the tabletop.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I suppose the key opening question really is, and you can go back as far as you like, to when you were a wee kiddie, but you know, what was your pathway to where you are now and into the hobby in general?
Well, in terms of like first hands on, was when I was much, probably like around, but between like 10 and not even early teen, but it was probably only for a few years, sort of around my double digit age. At our school, Stenning Grammar School, for anyone that's listening that's been to the Stenning area in West Sussex, there was a Warhammer club that one of the teachers put on. And this must have been, I'm not very good at remembering like editions and stuff. Everyone talks about like, oh, you're going to the hobby in third edition. I have no recollection of what edition we were in. Basically, me and my friends bought cool looking miniatures and painted them to the best of our very limited ability, and pretty much made up how to play the game ourselves. So we sort of DIY'd our way through Warhammer. There was a it was sort of like a hobby supply shop sort of thing in our local town, and they sort of had a few Games Workshop miniatures in there, so every now and again we sort of like buy a few more bits and pieces. And it was like Warhammer Fantasy that we did together. So I collected Bretonian Knights, and then one of my other pals got did dwarves. And then there was another guy that did elves and stuff like that. So that's sort of like my very first memory of sort of like practically being in the hobby. I used to really love the White Dwarf magazines back then. I used to love the battle reports and the articles, and like all the Golden Demon entries from the 90s were so cool. So, so cool. And I think the aesthetic of the hobby has been something that's been with me the whole way through. But after that initial bit, I didn't pick it up again. So let's say like I stopped when I was around about 12, I guess. I didn't pick it up again until my 30s, really. And the only reason I did was because I met Laurie, who's sort of like the boss of Tabletop Tactics. We met at our old job. And happened to be brought together through this like work program that we were doing. So we went for a coffee to connect, as you do at work, and we touched base and touched coffee and talked about our old jobs. And my list of jobs before that was quite long and relatively boring. But he sort of went through his and said they used to work at Games Workshop. And I was like, oh, cool. I used to love Warhammer when I was a kid. And he was like, yeah, I did as well. But I also still, I'm still like part of the hobby. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And then like I sort of had a flashback to my childhood and thought, wow, that's a really cool thing. Like what a cool thing to do at this age. So I sort of like asked a few more questions about like, what it is that he does, and he told me about some of the armies he collects and how he plays competitively and all this kind of stuff. And then he from there basically broke my will and got me back into the hobby. I think at that initial meeting, I don't think there was any like plans in motion for the channel. But it was, yeah, it sort of brought us together as friends. He sort of tried to get me back into the hobby. We had to sort of figure out like what my entry point would be and like what's going to like bring me back into the hobby in terms of like painting or buying models or whatever. So we went for a beer and, he told me about his current army, which was an Emperor's Children army, which he sadly sold a long time ago and always regrets. But I thought that I would like to get like a bad guy army, so I decided to go down the route of Chaos Space Marines. And then from there I got taken to Games Workshop in Covent Garden and met Mike or Chef, who's one of the other guys on the channel, for the first time, who didn't join for a while afterwards. And I went to buy my first box of Chaos Space Marines. And the rest, as they say, is history.
That was a big moment right there.
I know. It was cool. And he was like, what are you collecting? and I said Warriors, and he was like, what are those? And Rory was like, no, it's Iron Warriors. And I was like, oh no, I've been such a dweeb in the Warhammer store. This is so lame.
I've been found out.
Yeah.
I'd like a box of soldiers, please.
Your finest toy soldiers. Shopkeep.
It's really interesting. Like, there's quite a few bits of that I'd like to dig into. You know, one of them is, and you know, people don't want to sort of hear about me, but I think that is probably a parallel with so many people who, you know, discovered it as a, you know, a kid old enough to realize it was cool and begin to wrap their head around it. But
yeah,
for one reason or another, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to stick with as a 7, 8, 9, 10 early teen. And then, yeah, there just seems to be loads of people finding it again in adulthood when maybe you've got the resources, or, you know, you can just kind of bring a little bit more experience to bear with it. It's funny what you say about the local shop that's not a Games Workshop or a dedicated hobby store, but that just has some models. I remember that very vividly. Like, some of my first collecting was just no semblance of an army. It would be just it would just be like one unit of fantasy guys, then some, like, a bit of 40k, and just like whatever I could find when I was out and about.
Totally. I remember picking stuff up from like car boots and stuff, like already painted, like other people's old models, and being like, yeah, I'll add them in.
I've got some of these now.
Kryptonian Knights. I've got Marnius Kalgar of the Ultramarines. And this tree is great. I'm on my way.
There is a nice kind of almost purity to that time. And it's funny to look back on now when not only can, you know, you can seek out like a Warhammer shop, or they've got their website, but, you know, beyond that, there's just so many avenues into, like, or I suppose like opportunities to collect it. You know, we're spoiled with the number of places you could go and buy a box or get whatever it is you might need, and eBay and all that kind of stuff, and it's so much more calculated. It's interesting as well what you're saying about like it being a kind of a chance meeting to get back into it as an adult, because I think often it's a very kind of, I think it's like a very evocative hobby, like it's easy to get really excited about, but also at the same time there's a kind of like level of inertia to go from somebody who doesn't do it to, you know, who has the stuff, has the time to not, you know, not only play but paint and prep models and do all that other stuff. I think it's almost like a mentor kind of situation, is what it sounds like. Somebody not only kind of give you the pointers, but be like a bit of a cheerleader in, you know, as well. And
yeah, for sure. I think there was definitely a lot of hand holding at the beginning, but in a good way, and sort of like guiding me towards the right way to get back into it, I suppose. Because I guess there's probably a risk of like alienating someone. I mean, the fact that me and Laurie ever met was so slim as well, because this is just as I... So when I met Laurie, I'd moved up from London to London from Brighton, where I'd lived almost forever up until that point, to live with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, so that was a good move. And we just happened to meet at this shop I happened to get a job at, and we happened to end up talking about Warhammer. Like, it's so unlikely that we would have ever met and gone down this path. It's like the fates were written for us.
Certainly, to look back and obviously in the time between, this is now your full-time job. It's pretty remarkable.
It's been a bit of a ride, yeah. But going to your point about like getting back into the hobby nowadays, I think back in the 90s when I was first doing it, like the only thing that you'd see of the hobby outside of doing it with your mates would be going to a physical store, looking at White Dwarf, or like mail ordering like miniatures. Like, that was it. Mm-hmm. Like, nowadays when you get back into it as an adult, or at any age really, that there's so much stuff to kind of encourage you to do hobby. Like for me, it's a real like mental health boon. Like I find that the hobby aspect of it, even outside of work, like painting and building stuff is really, really good. And then you sort of get a backup on top of that from social media. I'm not like a huge social media advocate. I think there's definitely some fundamental issues with social media, but for the hobby specifically, there's so much inspiration you can get on an Instagram feed. Like if I'm trying to figure out like how to spend a bit of free time, like if I just go on Instagram quick and just see all the cool models people are painting, or see something that someone's been working on over like 6 or 7 posts and seeing their progress and what they've been working on, it's super inspiring. And I think that is a real benefit of the hobby now, is that you can kind of just take this huge community of people and this growing community of people and sort of take them with you through the hobby. And like you can communicate on Instagram and send messages and stuff, or just like give them a like or a comment, just say like, hey, I like this thing that you've been working on. Where'd you get that head from for that head swap? Or how did you get that effect with your painting or whatever? Or just sort of like telling someone like, wow, that's an amazing thing that you've made. It's a really nice aspect that just wasn't there before. And I think that's something that really kind of took hold of me and sort of thrust me back into the hobby again. That was a really nice part of it for sure.
Yeah, it's an easy hobby to otherwise be sequestered away for hours on end, you know, with just the lamp for company. And I think that's definitely changed now with like you say, you can share progress and all of that stuff. I mean, it begs a question, just kind of rewinding a little bit. Like, do you think without that chance meeting, you would have one way or another found your way back into it?
That's a good question, man. I don't know, because I certainly wasn't seeking it out at the time. I wonder if, I mean, I, you know what, actually it probably would have done, because I've met people since, outside of the channel, and the people I met that way that have been into it as well. A friend of mine, Charlie, he paints what's it called, bolt action stuff, but he's also like done Warhammer and 40k and stuff. Like he's a real really really good painter. So I think like meeting other people, like if I happen to sort of like go around to their place and just happen to get taken into his little hobby room, and I see that, like that's gonna encourage me to ask a couple of questions. It's like, what is this? What are you working on? What is this little miniature you're doing here? Look at all these paints, look at this airbrush. It's a really engaging hobby. I think anyone with any kind of shred of creativity is gonna at least ask a couple of questions about it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, the way you told the story, it sounds like you were almost, without knowing it, waiting for somebody to almost like mention Games Workshop again, or mention that they did it, and kind of revitalize that bit of childhood that had, you know, like it does for so many, had laid dormant at that time.
Yeah, definitely. Like we get so many messages all the time of people saying, hey man, you guys got me back into the hobby, and then they sort of rattle off the stuff that they've done since and what they've got back into. It's amazing how many people come back. That I don't see a huge amount of people that are like, hey, I've just got into the hobby for the first time. I don't see that a lot, interestingly. But people coming back into it, there's tons and tons of people. So yeah, it's really cool. I love it.
Yeah, well, that's super cool. And hopefully this sort of leads on fairly well. I mean, you were just talking a second ago about it as a creative pursuit. I mean, what do you think it is about the hobby that appeals most? So, I mean, obviously you've got number crunching for the people who just love to power game. You've got, you know, the escapism of the lore. It's a creative outlet if you want to paint or graph. But what's the part for you, do you think, that like draws you to, I suppose, like 40K and the wider tabletop hobby?
I think it's like the... There's lots of things that I like a lot, like the general aesthetic that comes with the hobby, the whole like grimdark thing, all of the artwork, all of the backstories and things, like the look of the hobby is so engaging, and that has always been a real draw for me. I think in terms of what I actually am involved with, I think being able, the freedom to sort of like create something from scratch, especially like building and kit bashing stuff, that's where I get the most joy from, I think. Like just being able to sit there with a big pile of bits and just like make some stuff is really, really fun. Like with my main army, which is Iron Warriors, I think every single model in some way is custom. So I love that my army is completely different to anyone else's. Like I'm not like a high level painter, and I've been spending a lot of time working on it, but I think making something from scratch is super fun, and you're encouraged to do so. I think with like all the way back to like when Games Workshop made the 20 Space Marine Legions, as far as I interpret it, the two lost legions, I can't remember which ones they are, I think the idea with that was for you, the hobbyist, to create your own legion, one which is good guys and one which is bad guys, essentially. And that really resonated with me. It's like, this is all of the millions of pages of backstory and lore and things that we've come up with, but we also want you to do your own thing. And I think you can get completely lost in just making your own narrative and just building your own hobby from there, whether it's like making, I don't know, giving a Space Marine a different head, or to the one that comes in the box, or like to creating your own warlord with a name and a backstory and his own magic weapon or whatever. Like I love how much freedom you have with it, and you're encouraged and not discouraged to sort of go your own way with it. So it allows your imagination to sort of take you wherever you want it to go. But behind that, you've got this incredible story, whether it's 40k or 30k or fantasy or whatever. Like there's so many layers to it, and you can just get lost. Like if you're into the books, there's endless books you can get into, and then the model range is amazing. All of the lore that comes with the rule books is great, and you can meet people in the community that are into those different things. Like there's plenty of people that get in touch with us on the channel that are like, I've never played the game, I've never picked up a paintbrush, I read the books a lot, and you guys are quite fun to have in the background. So it's nice how all encompassing it is, and just how much stuff there is to get into. So that's a very long winded way of not really answering your question. But I suppose my point is there's just so much to it. But at a basic level, I just love building and creating stuff from scratch.
Yeah, yeah. It's a slightly unfair question. I think given like the variety of, you know, of the hobby. But I think there's definitely a thread in what you were saying, which is that idea of like you're drawn to the aesthetic, and then, you know, in getting your hands on the kits and on the models, you know, it's like representation of the fact that aesthetic is not like limiting you. You're not looking at the front of the box thinking, I have to build them that way and paint them that way. Yeah. I think that's a draw for a lot of people, you know, for something that could be taken as quite prescriptive. There's a huge amount of creativity. And actually, you know, as you were answering that, it made me think actually that, you know, we're talking specifically about one kind of tabletop product, but they do a great job of having incredibly rich lore, you know, where if somebody wants to sink their teeth into it and be incredibly specific about who was where and when and how that happened, and no, you can't argue with me because I've, you know, like you can get that granular with it. And at the same time, you know, what you were saying about the like the unknown, like the lost chapters and that sort of thing, like they leave a lot of space. So that if your idea isn't in, you know, one of the Horus Heresy books or whatever, like there's room for that too, and you can kind of justify it, and there is that flexibility. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth there, but like I just as a thread, I can you know, I can see the appeal.
Yeah, of course. From, and I guess like it is what you make of it. Like that. yeah, you can enjoy it in whatever way you want to. You're right. It's not designed to be done in a specific way. I think there's an argument that these days it is a bit more linear and sort of like how, like in terms of like building stuff. But outside of that, it's very open for people to enjoy however they want. And it's also cool that the hobby and the company are making some really smart decisions. They're branching out into TV shows and stuff like that. And I think that's going to make even more people interested in the hobby. There's Netflix shows coming, and they just hired that dude that made the Astartes episodes on YouTube. Like it's going to end up appealing to more and more people, which is only a good thing. Because we want to get more people in to sort of see all of our awesome hobby.
Absolutely. It's going to be a multimedia franchise.
A bonanza,
absolutely. Well, just kind of picking up on that aspect of what you like about it. I mean, but now broadening outside of the hobby specifically. Do you have memories, or do you think like some of those elements, those aesthetics, those interests were like formative for you in other areas, whether it was like, you know, books you enjoyed as a kid, or you know, other things you were exposed to? I mean, can you, I suppose what I'm saying is, can you trace back, you know, getting into Warhammer Fantasy to other stuff that sparked a similar interest in you as a little kid?
I think interestingly, I think as a young kid, I think I thought I was far cooler than I was, which I guess a lot of kids do. So I have a funny feeling, and my memory is really bad, so I can't tell you this verbatim, but I have a funny feeling that I thought that, I think it ended up me thinking that people would think that my hobby was stupid or embarrassing or whatever. So I think that's sort of what took me away from it as a kid. But having said that, I think as I got a bit older, I can definitely see things like the artwork, for instance, probably led me down the road towards the aesthetic side of the music I'm into, if that makes any sense. If I think about some album covers of some like metal bands or whatever, I think probably have some kind of spark to some of the old like John Blanche artwork that I used to love when I was into it at a younger age. So I don't think it had any direct influence on stuff that I enjoyed as I was growing up after I got out of the hobby, but I think there probably was lots of indirect things that sort of were along the same sort of lines of other things that I was into.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess in a sense that was kind of what I was implying with the question, whether it was you know, stuff you were into before you found Warhammer or stuff that you were into after it. I suppose it's really about making those connections.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose just to expand on that, I mean, are there you know, those threads? I suppose if we describe, you know, the aesthetic is dark, is violent, is grim, you know, do those threads run through the other stuff that you recall enjoying? I mean, you talked about the music you were listening to, but like would you say that?
I mean, yeah, as a link to music, I probably listen to Tool because of the H.R. Giger artwork, which I recognized, which was influenced some of the Warhammer artwork in the 90s. Like that kind of link, like I wouldn't have probably listened to Tool otherwise. I just happened to see like those music videos and the album artwork that was there, because I liked the look of the artwork that was with Warhammer before. So there's definitely like these little tendrils that have like taken me in certain directions for sure. Yeah, it's quite a far reaching thing. I think again, like for any kind of like creative stuff that I've done in the past, any kind of inspirational thing, whether it be visual or an interesting book or anything like that, I think it ties in and clings on really tightly to any other creative based things. Like if there's any kind of like spark that can then ignite something else, I think there's definitely been lots of things that have come from those earlier years which have influenced stuff I've done later on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it sort of stands to reason that you're going to be those threads running through everything. And just to kind of extend that point even further, and I suppose just dig into it even more. I mean, what do you think it is about yourself that draws you to, you know, a hobby with a grim dark aesthetic, or a band like Tool with, you know, HR Giger or Geiger, you know, inspired artwork? Like what I suppose, you know, what do you think it, what is it about a person who looks at that stuff and says, yeah, that's for me, not, you know, I'm trying to think of some sort of other contemporaries that what you know, what you could have been choosing at the same time. Hanson in the charts, for example.
That's a really good question. I suppose like I'm quite a happy-go-lucky sort of person. I think I'm pretty positive usually day to day, and tend to be quite open and fun to be around, I guess, or sort of go out my way to be a nice person or a good person.
Sure.
So I think that kind of aesthetic is the complete opposite of how I tend to be outwardly, I suppose. So I think that kind of like the darker artwork and the grim dark nature and all of the I think it's sort of like the polar opposite of my personality, I guess. So I think where I sort of project being a nice person, I suppose I sort of want like the opposite as well, just to have a bit of a balance and just have something that will interest the like a different part of my brain, I guess, if that makes sense. And that's probably also influenced the music I've grown up listening to as well. Like I really like super heavy music for the most part. Like I like other music, but like hardcore and metal and punk and that kind of stuff, that's always been with me all the way through my young years, all the way through to today. And it's something about like that kind of energy which is different to my personality, I suppose. So I think it takes up a different portion of my I don't know what the word is.
Psyche, maybe.
Yes, that's a good word. Let's go with psyche.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that rings true for me as well, or rather, you know, I can identify with a lot of what you said there. You know, I think it's a cliche, maybe bordering on a meme at this point, that you know, everybody who is into something dark is also that way themselves. You know,
like, yeah,
it's not really something you actually encounter that frequently in reality, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I think everyone needs a bit of balance, whether they need something to balance their outward personality with something maybe the opposite. I think it's good to have a balance of light and dark, I suppose. Let's say that.
Yeah, for sure. That makes total sense. Well, just whilst we're on that topic, I mean, is there anything that you want to kind of shout out or reference in terms of like book, music, film that for you kind of either gets you going in the same way the hobby does or taps into a similar thing?
Music wise, I've always been into, as you know, because we've made music together, haven't we? That was such a fun time. I've always enjoyed heavy music. I've always enjoyed, especially like aggressive vocals and things like that. I love being able to go and see a heavier band live is the best. That's loads of fun. I miss that as well. In this lockdown time that we're all experiencing. There's also, I think I've discovered other forms of music as well through the hobby. So there are times, like if I've been painting or building or whatever, I've needed, if I'm doing something particularly intricate, sometimes like thrash isn't the best thing to do when painting an eyeball. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the size of the eyeball, I suppose. But I've also got into like jazz and stuff as well from the hobby. So it's definitely unlocked different interests as well, which has been fun. Books wise, like I'm super into all the Horus Heresy novels. I tend to listen to audiobooks more than doing actual reading with my eyes, just because it kind of works with my commute and things like that. So I've been jamming the Siege of Terror books recently, which are really dope. Starting off with Slaves to Darkness, which is my favorite 30k book. It's so, so good. Slave to Darkness is amazing. And I'm doing Saturnine at the moment, which is the latest one.
Yeah.
Which is super fun. Features my boys, the Iron Warriors. I've enjoyed getting into all the 30k books. I don't really read a lot of sci-fi outside of that. It's mainly the hobby that got me back into those sorts of books. So I keep that locked into the Warhammer stuff. Movies wise, like there's not much that I don't enjoy, but there's definitely a sci-fi theme to my favorite film of all time, maybe controversially, is Terminator 2 Judgment Day. That's my favorite film ever.
I think it's a solid shout.
It's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if it won any awards back in the day, but in terms of like excellent sci-fi, great writing, and weirdly like visual effects that stand up today, which I don't get because it was made in the 90s, it still looks really good. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, and he's my boy. So
it's got a hell of a lot going for it.
It's great. It's a good time.
I think it's a very fair shout. I think it's very easy, and I'm certainly guilty of this sort of thing because I am naturally pretentious. But it's when you talk about your favorite stuff, I think sometimes it can be tempting to just think about maybe what you think is the best, which is not always the same question, and you start to almost second guess yourself in terms of like, oh yeah, I really like that. But then this other thing is, you know, oh, I admire the writing, or clearly they took a long time, you know, like doing the sets or what, you know, whatever it might be. But for sheer like, yeah, I want to put on a movie and I know that every time I'm going to watch it, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, probably tough to beat T2.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've watched it a lot. My first time watching it, so my dad recorded it off the TV on a VHS when I was really young. But he like pressed stop on all of the inappropriate bits my age, so like I didn't see much of it to be honest.
Shout out home sensor.
The big red stop button. There was a lot of that film I didn't actually see till I was much older. It was a nice entremont to the actual film, the final cut, if you will. That was not edited by my dad. I love that film. It's dope. It's really, really good.
I want to see the dad cut now.
Imagine Terminator 2, but every time anyone swears or there is much violence, then just take that away, and then you've got the dad cut.
Not even dubbed in. Just a weird sort of flow breaking jump cut to after it happened.
Yeah, and it was like, it was old school jump cut, so it was sort of like not like a stop and a go like you'd expect. It was just sort of like static, and then it would come back.
An awkward on the fly VHS edit. I can imagine it probably wound up being quite avant-garde in a way.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you could. I wonder if I could like digitize it and make it an NFT and sell it.
It's worth a try. I feel like, I mean, this is a tangent, but at this point, just NFT everything, right? You never know.
Yeah.
I know, but that's
be NFT2. NFT2.
Just the most sort of esoteric thing. Joe's dad's home cut of TT with all the rude stuff.
Yeah. I accept Bitcoin.
Oh, that's good stuff. So gonna a slight hop now out of stuff that you've enjoyed. So the next question is, if you could change something about the hobby, what would you change?
I would like to change how non-diverse the hobby is, to be completely honest. Like, there's although I'm not very good, I've never been good with numbers. Like, I'm terrible at math and things like that. I really enjoy statistics. And when I look at the statistics that we have on our channel, like, it's so very much like white males. And I can kind of see why, because I think from the outside, it doesn't necessarily appeal to like a huge audience. But there's, like, I've been banging on about all the time I've been talking, that there's so much to it that I think it would just really benefit from a far more diverse crowd. I don't know how necessarily to do that, but I always make a point to sort of like follow as many like women as I can on Instagram and sort of see what they're doing. There's some really cool people out there that are coming up with stuff like this, just like cool ways to engage with people and just expand the community a bit. I just love to see it grow beyond what it is now and just have a more diverse community for people to sort of like get involved with and enjoy. I think that would be amazing. There's just a lot to it, man. I think if people can be attracted to at least sort of have a look at whatever part that would float the boat a bit, I think that would bring out some really good stuff in the community for sure.
I totally agree with that. I think, I mean, it's almost a point beyond disagreement, really. Like you say, you've got the stats to back it up, and it can only be a good thing. And I imagine that, you know, you said not quite sure how to do that, but I imagine it's not one thing, right? You know, it's a lot of this kind of hobby. And when I say this kind of hobby, I suppose I'm lumping in, you know, tabletop wargaming with things like D&D and other stuff that maybe comes under the umbrella of what was in the past more of like a niche or nerd kind of hobby. You know, I think I think probably a lot of them have their roots in just being quite exclusive in the way that they were enjoyed and marketed and thought about, designed, if you like, you know, that thread. But you know, just to like touch again on D&D, you know, that's seen a massive, obviously a massive growth in popularity, and I think probably fair to say with that, you know, they've made strides. It's not a perfect thing, but certainly made strides in terms of inclusion, and I think making it generally a friendlier space for everybody. I pick that as an example, something that maybe like 10 years ago we would have said, well, you know, that's another very exclusive thing. So I think, you know, there's hope, and you know, we're seeing those changes for sure.
Definitely, yeah. I think if we want the hobby to continue to grow and expand beyond what it is at the moment, we're going to need more people to get involved, like whether that's younger people or girls or whoever it is. I just love to see it grow beyond what it is. I think you hit the nail on the head with what things used to be like in the past, and I think there's definitely like hobby gatekeepers that maybe keep people at bay. And it is, unfortunately, where things like Instagram are really great for community, it's also can be quite a toxic place as well. So I think for people that aren't necessarily seen as being like the people who belong in the hobby, whatever that means, it's unfortunately very easy to sort of ping someone a message which isn't particularly nice, which can sort of put someone off. It's amazing, like, how, and I have it myself as well, how you can have like 50 lovely comments from people and you get this one person that just wants to like throw some spite your way, and it's like, ugh, this is a bit gutting. So I think there's definitely things that we can do to sort of protect people coming in and dipping their toe in, and we need to keep it going for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think like it's like the negative aspects always have a sort of disproportionate effect, don't they? Like you said, like one spiteful comment can stay with you, where the 50 nice ones didn't. And
yeah.
And we were talking earlier about the depth of the hobby, whether that's the lore or whatever it is, and also kind of the inertia of going from being new to it and almost like needing a champion. You know, I think that kind of rings true in what we're talking about here. You know, like it needs everybody to say, like, come on in, this is awesome. You don't have to know the entire Horus Heresy on day two. you know, and it sounds silly, but like that, hearing that is useful, isn't it? Because it is overwhelming, you know, like anything as complicated and esoteric like is both rewarding and overwhelming.
Yeah. And I am encouraged to see is how I think through like Games Workshop themselves are sort of making strides to sort of be a bit more like outwardly diverse. So I suppose in terms of like marketing materials and things like that, like you're starting to see like black characters on the front of their novels and stuff, which is great. And there's more female miniatures being produced and things like that. And I suppose at a different level, just like the games and stuff are just being produced to be less complicated, which is good, because like I remember like back when I was first filming with Laurie, going back to when we first started making games, like it was so the seventh edition was so complicated, it was horrid, absolutely horrid. So nowadays things are getting much more simplified. The game's still really good, but like offering someone up like a very short rule book compared to like a 200 page document, even things like that are good at just sort of getting people in and not being so it's much more inviting than it used to be, for sure. So props for them for expanding a little bit, but it's little steps, little baby steps, but it's certainly going in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to keep in mind that thing of like, you know, there will be the detractors who say, oh, you know, if you go from seventh to ninth or whatever it is, you're dumbing it down. But like, you have to keep all that in perspective, you know, for like going from not knowing the game to learning ninth. There's still plenty to get your teeth into. And, you know, it's not like we're talking about snakes and ladders here.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to compare what I would describe as a fairly complex tabletop war game to an even more complex version of it. And then that be your only model for like, oh, you know, they're oversimplifying it or whatever. But save it for the rules podcast.
Yeah, and there's also some really cool box games that are coming out these days, which are really nice, like dip your toe in sort of things. Like that new Cursed City box looks so good. Like the miniatures are amazing, so thick. And the game looks relatively straightforward as well. So yeah, it's good. But I think outside of Games Workshop and all that kind of stuff, I think just general tabletop gaming and that sort of hobby, like the painting and building aspects, you can see quite universally through different systems. So I think it is going to take, like you say, it's not going to be one thing that changes everything. I think if there's just a general paradigm shift and a general attitude change towards not it's marketing to all, Yeah, it makes me excited about what things are going to be like in a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Good times ahead.
Yeah, hope so.
Cool. Well, just to roll on from that, what would you say is your perfect expression of the hobby? So to sort of differentiate this from like what draws you to the hobby, like what I suppose what I'm saying is like what is your like ideal hobby experience? It could be, you know, a game with your favorite army. It could be a Sunday afternoon, you know, like cracking open a brand new unit to paint. Could be a all-day event. Like what's your ideal hobby expression?
Can I have two?
Yeah, have as many as you like.
Okay. I'll stick with two. Some of my best memories of the hobby is going to Warhammer Worlds for like a weekender. Like that is a good time. It's a really, really good time, because there's loads of like-minded people that are there just to throw some dice and have a good time. It's not like it's not like a high level competitive event, because the Warhammer World ones don't necessarily tend to be that way. You get that a lot. Some of the ITC circuits and things like that tends to be far more competitive. But like being able to go, like see people you've not maybe seen for a while, or meet people that you've met on Instagram for the first time and things like that. Like that's awesome. Like playing a few games over a weekend, not too many. I think it's like three or four you tend to play over a weekend. Is great. In between games, you can go through to Bugman's and have a beer. Their food's really good too. And then they've got the exhibit as well, which you can go have a walk around to. That's amazing. So I think that the weekenders there are great. Those are a lot of fun. But on the other side of the coin, like if I can carve out, so speaking as a dad and a husband man and someone
shout out Warhammer dads.
Someone that although it might not look like it on the outside, does work quite hard at work. Having like an hour or two to sit down at my desk, turn on my light, spin what I don't know, let's say we'll do we'll crack through one of like every time I die. We'll do them. We'll put them on on the speaker. And just
you're open paint up some eyes. So
paint some eyes. So we're going to listen to Pig Destroyer and open up a box, like a fresh box of miniatures, look at the instructions, do away with them and just build something from scratch. That is a really good time. That's really nice. Just to have a bit of time to myself, switch off and just create something is amazing. It's I'm a real advocate that the hobby can be really good for your mental health, and whether you're a good painter or not, or you're building your first thing or not, it's a really good way to switch off, like unlock a bit of creativity and just get away from the world for a little bit and create your own little world.
Sounds like a spot on answer. I like that. Balance in all things, as we were saying earlier.
Yes. Oh, we've come back around to balance. That's nice.
Yeah, look at that, circular. But no, that, I mean, that sounds pretty spot on.
Yeah, it's nice. But again, what I have for my enjoyment of the hobby might be completely different than someone else. Like it's just like I said before, it's such a wide ranging hobby for people with different kinds of interests. It's there's something for everyone. It's great,
for sure. Cool. So pretty much getting towards the end of my line of interrogation here.
The end times.
Yeah, absolutely. However, I have got one more here. So when you're not hobbying, what do you like to do?
Good question. I've got really into gardening recently, like in a big way. It's really good. I always said, so my mum and dad were into gardening a lot when I was younger, and I always said, I don't understand why you like gardening, it's so stupid, like you're just wasting your time. It's actually very therapeutic, it's very nice. So we so when I became full-time at TT, I moved down to the Bath area, the West Country. And we got a new place, and there's a nice garden. It's really nice, and it was pretty run down. I think it used to be pretty well taken care of, because there's like beds and stuff everywhere, but it's been left to the animals, and it's sort of gone a bit wild. But since moving here, and since the weather's got a bit nicer, it's been really nice. Been really nice to do some gardening. We've made a raised bed and planted some veg and stuff. And nice. I'm just watching it grow. It's very pleasant.
Not just neatening up the garden, but getting self-sufficient.
Yeah, we're going off the grid. So that's been really nice. I've enjoyed that. That's a very, very recent thing that I've been into. So that's been fun. I've got a little boy, Oscar. He is a hoot. He's 2.5. So he takes up most of my time.
It's a busy age.
It is. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Lots of questions to answer. Lots and lots of questions to answer.
Why is half of Terminator 2 missing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to introduce him to those films. Yeah, so he's a big time sponge in the best way. He's loads and loads of fun. So we've been hanging out a lot. That's been good. Outside of that, I tend to, well, there's less to do at the moment. So where I would encourage myself and others to go to gigs, I've not been able to do that for a little bit. But when that opens up again, I'm in a different part of the world with some new venues. So I'm excited to check those out when some bands come around. So I guess that will be in the Bristol area. I have to find some venues to go to in Bristol. And
a lot of good Bristol bands.
Is there?
Yes, there are. I'm gonna shout out Svalbard to sing it. I feel like I've got to back that up with at least one now.
Are they from Bristol?
I believe so. This is where we have a publicly aired product, and I've got something wrong. But
yeah, but no, they're actually from Norway.
They're actually from Svalbard.
Yeah, by way of Bristol, from parts unknown. Yeah. Oh, I'm also into wrestling.
Talking from parts unknown. Mania this weekend, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Although I've fallen out of favour of WWE a little bit. I got back into wrestling when I moved to. So I used to work at Apple, and that's where I met Laurie. And I also met two guys, Dan and Mike, at that store, and they got me into wrestling. So I definitely went back into previous things that I used to like at a younger age. So I've been patiently watching WWE for a number of years, but it's gone off the rails a bit. I'm going to put it out there. It's not quite as entertaining as it used to be, which is ironic because...
Sorry, I keep going to cut you off. Please continue, John.
No, go on. No.
I was going to say, everyone's waiting on tenterhooks now for me to say that it's all gone downhill from the Attitude Era.
Oh,
I can't even speak. Attitude Era, that's what it's all about.
But what is quite good is that if you go on WWE Network, I'm not affiliated with WWE, by the way. If you go on the network, that all of the Attitude Era stuff's on there. So like I will, again, if I have some available time, I will go back and watch some Attitude Era Raw Rumbles and have a good time by myself. It's great.
Yeah, that's a good
chat. Crack open a cold one with Stone Cold. It's great.
Yeah, or five or six. Toss a cup into the crowd. I know. I was just about to say, I was going to tee you up to shout out AEW, which I think maybe ticks the box a little bit more for people who, you know, who are a fan of that era. Similarly, I found myself getting back into wrestling. It was kind of a lockdown thing, like sort of rediscovering that and in the process, sort of learning about AEW.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It's just really fun, and I think there is much more of an emphasis on the wrestling rather than it being what is essentially
the longest running soap opera of all time, which is what WWE is. They've got some really cool people that have come over from WWE, which hail from the Attitude Era. You've got Chris Jericho, you've got Matt Hardy now, you've got Big Show. He's turned up recently, which is nice.
Incredible.
You've got Andy Williams from Every Time I Die, so a band that we love. He wrestles there, which is pretty dope.
So many threads coming together. I love it.
I know. It's the circle of life. But yeah, I've been enjoying
Big Show
that.
Apparently... Sorry, Big Show apparently is also caught into D&D. So there's another little...
Is he really?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Pretty cool. Wow, but, this really is all coming back around. This is very good.
Not,
well
nice.
Done.
Synergy.
Look at us, eh?
I feel like gardening is not to undermine the inherent value of gardening, because I think it is a satisfying thing to do. I feel like it's kind of a lockdown thing, isn't it? Like you said, can't go to gigs, can't go to Warhammer World. There is an element of making fun at home.
Yes.
And there is also an element as well of, I think, you know, like maybe once you get past 30, gardener's question time, you know, you just start to put it on and think, oh, that's kind of useful.
Yeah. I don't mind gardener's world's all right. I like Monty Don. He's got a very relaxing demeanor. And he tells me what to do every week. So on a Friday, I don't watch on a Friday night. Sometimes I do. I can get it on catch up. And he's like, this week you need to do X, Y, and Z. And I'll be like, okay, Monty, I'll go and do that. But I feel like now I've sort of got into a bit of a, things are a bit tidier and stuff. I've got this app on my phone, which I just like take a picture of the plant. And it's like, this plant is X and you need to water it every couple of weeks. And I'm like, cool, I've got my list of plants and when to water it. Theoretically, nothing will die. So I'll be good now.
It's like a Pokedex for plants.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. My issue with Gardener's Question Time is I find it, well, I suppose to put it succinctly, it's a panel of rich people who have a lot more land than the people asking the question in most cases. But you'll flick it on and someone will be like, yeah, I've got this weed that I can't get rid of. Have you got any tips? And they'll just be like, yeah, if you just graze your cows on that section for a bit, just rotate them in. Yeah. And then, you know, have the help look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just sort of like sat there taking notes. It's like, I don't have a cow. So we've got a serious problem here. Although we have inherited an 80-year-old grapevine. So that's fun. It actually grows through a wall in the house. Not into the house. There's like a porch at the front. And there's this vine that like grows through the wall into it. So initially I was like, we should probably cut this down because it's growing into our house. And then a lady came around and she's like, it's been here for 80 years and you must take care of it. So now I feel like I'm some sort of like custodian of this vine that I don't want.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, I don't know, maybe I'll just hang something off of it. Like, I don't know what. An offering and see if it grows.
Wine for the wine god.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think you got to now. That's going to be the next Tabletop Tactics merch, you know, avenue. Yeah. It's going to be a brewery, like a, it's not a brewery, is it? It's a vineyard.
Wine project.
Winery? Is that a?
Yeah.
Is that where they make wine?
Yeah.
Stomp some grapes in the name of, all things chaos,
the great gods. Yeah.
That's good stuff. That sounds like plenty to keep you busy.
It's bit, yeah, there's yeah, but I am also looking forward to exploring around here as well, because it's all new, and ever since I moved here we've been in lockdown, so yeah, it's been I don't know what's out there.
That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Moving mid lockdown.
Yeah, that was bad timing, but it's fine. We're sort of, dare I say it, we're on our way to a bright new future where everyone can get a haircut and stop gardening.
Yeah, finally pack that in.
Yeah, I've got to say, like your beard and hair are, I can see you through the internet right now as we're recording this, and your beard and hair is something to behold. It's a wonderful thing. If anything good has come out of lockdown, it's your follicle growth.
Well, that's kind of you to say, especially given your status, for the same reason. You're a man of follicle renown. All right. Let's become a circle jerk. Well, I'm out of questions. Okay. This has been an absolute pleasure.
It's been so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been great, man. Is there anything you would like to shout out, mention, plug whilst we're here?
You've caught me off guard. I would like to shout out Tabletop Tactics. They're a good bunch. Svalbard.
Yep.
Pretty sick band. Hailing out of Bristol.
I really hope they
by way of
now.
Norway. I'd like to shout out James Cameron for making Terminator 2.
Yep.
Yeah, in that time I bought myself, I've still not thought of anything. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to shout out a plug for War Hipster. At War Hipster on Instagram, he's painting me up some Death Watch at the moment. He's doing a really good job. So if you're into good painting, War Hipster is your man for that. Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
No, that was great. I think you've covered everything there. Nice one.
Oh, and Monty Don from Garden as well.
Excellent. Well, Joe, thank you ever so much. It's been
an absolute
pleasure.
Thank you so much. Can we do it again? Can we do it again at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then when we open up, you should come to the studio and we can throw some dice.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I'll bid you good night. And let's do this again.
Yeah.
Peace. Take it easy.
Mate, your clap sounded really good. Mine was so pathetic. It was like throwing a piece of ham against a wall.